The following is a presentation of the Chicago Bears Network. On the air, online, and on demand. Visit the Chicago Bears Network page on chicagobears.com. And now, welcome to Bears All Access, your all-access pass into Chicago Bears football. Bears All Access is brought to you by Sports Authority and sponsored by Giordano's, Miller Lite, and University of Phoenix.
As we approach the July 4th holiday weekend, man, you'd think this would be a dead time in the NFL where there wouldn't be a lot to talk about, but no siree. Big news in the National Football League today. Alongside 85 Bear Tom Thayer and former Bears quarterback Jim Miller, I'm Zach Sabin, happy to have you aboard. We'll start with all these suspensions that were announced by the National Football League. There's one that directly affects the Bears, and that is the one-game suspension for Packers defensive end Dayton Jones, who will miss the season opener when the Bears play the Packers at Soldier Field. How does this affect the Bears, Tom?
You know, it affects the Bears because, you know, there's one part of their football team, you know, the defense that doesn't have interchangeable personnel, but they play everybody. So they need fresh bodies, especially week one, right out of the box when you might not be in the best of shape. But, you know, every one of these guys that got suspended, there's a guy behind them licking their chops for the opportunity not only to make the team, but possibly be the starter on day one. So along with the bad that you see spread with the suspensions, the good of it is the guy that's excited for his opportunity. So that's almost what you have to focus on now is the teams that have the suspended players because they need somebody to step up to the plate in their absence.
And there are big names, Jim, that have been suspended for the early going of the season, including Chargers tight end Antonio Gates, Rolando McClain, the linebacker for the Cowboys, and Sheldon Richardson, the Jets defensive lineman.
Yeah, well, there's no doubt. I mean, Antonio Gates, a big part of the Chargers offense, we know that. You know, when you look at Rolando McClain, I mean, he just can't stay out of his own way. It's been one thing after another with Rolando McClain of the Dallas Cowboys, and he was a great player in their defense a year ago. You know, just getting back to what you're asking about Dayton Jones, you know, could it factor in? Because you look at Green Bay, they've been moving players around. We know last year they moved Clay Matthews to the middle because they're counting on Nick Perry, who they didn't give the fifth-year option when you look at some younger players. And I think Dayton Jones, even though they got B.J. Raji and LaTroy Guyon signed back at the nose tackle spot, Dayton Jones was probably expected to be big as a defensive end. So as Tom mentioned, you just wonder as bodies, if the game wears on, if that could be a weak spot that the Bears somewhat pick on a little bit. Because you look behind them, there's a lot of college free agents at the defensive end spot for the Green Bay Packers. So you just wonder what defensive coordinator Dom Capers going into camp is going to be thinking that he's going to have to try and figure this out minimum for one game, the opener, as you mentioned, against the Bears.
And, you know, they do have some other suspicions about other players in Green Bay. You're going to have to see how that their future factors out. But when you go and you have your first evaluation against your opponent as an offensive coach, and if they have a perceived weakness, either by depth or inexperience, like you mentioned, Zach, that is going to give them a great starting point where to begin their attack and how does it filter out from there.
Jones was suspended for violating the NFL's policy against substances of abuse, so he will miss one game. And that game is the season opener, Bears-Packers at Soldier Field to start the regular season. Something that I'm very interested in finding out, we still don't know what the Bears' offensive line is going to look like for that game against Green Bay, Tom. We keep hearing John Fox say that Kyle Long is a right guard. He's a two-time Pro Bowl player at the position that you used to play in the National Football League, but we've seen him in a variety of different spots on the offensive line throughout the offseason, including right guard, right tackle, and left tackle.
Right. You think about the changes on defense that some of the guys are going through, Shea McClellan, David Bass, Jared, and certain other players, because you don't know exactly how they fit into the defensive scheme. And it's a little similarities to the offense. You don't know how the athleticism of your offensive line candidates best fits your system. Where do you need them the most? Where is that starting point of strength of bread and butter going to come from? Do you need it towards the right tackle to the outskirts, or are you an inside physical position? And that can sometimes determine the fate of a guy like Kyle Long. But they're also very fortunate that Kyle is such a talented player. He has the athleticism, the strength, the size, the feet, and the intelligence to play anywhere on the line. So maybe you expose a player to have a better opportunity to thrust onto the scene and make your offensive line better. So I don't think any player is set in stone. You know, maybe Jermon Bushrod. You know, he's a pretty darn good left tackle. He's a leader in the locker room. He has so many different experiences of success and failures that he is a really good sounding board for that locker room. But I do still think that as the coaches think about the talent in front of them, they're still thinking about where they best fit.
Jim, Antonio Gates is the biggest name that was suspended today, the San Diego tight end, 4 games for PED use. Now, I hate to link your name with PED use, but for people that don't remember, Jim was once suspended, and they always say you have to know what you put into your body. And Gates released a long statement saying that he was using holistic medicine, and he should have asked. It was his mistake, and that's, you know, he takes full responsibility. He's not making excuses for it. How does that kind of stuff happen?
Well, one, if it's not listed on the bottle. I mean, the FDA, the Food and Drug Administration, and Dr. Lombardo, who does all the testing for the NFL, he actually called me personally and said, hey, we know you didn't do it. It wasn't listed on the bottle. But at the end of the day, you still did it. You know, that's the rule. You are responsible for what goes into your bodies. And that's exactly basically what Antonio Gates, he wasn't making excuses. He did it. He's got to pay the piper. I had to pay the piper. All players are aware of it. And you just, you know, you got to use all avenues that are presented to you, because now the current day players, they can present any supplement that they're taking to the trainers. It's instantly sent to Dr. Lombardo's office. They can test it. They can send it back to you and say, you want to know what? You're good to go. Or send back something else and say, if I were you, I would not take this drug. It's got such and such ingredients in it that aren't listed on the bottle, so I would advise you not to take it. So all those avenues are available for players. It happens every year. There's going to be about, you know, there's normally about a dozen guys that fall through the cracks is normally what happens during the regular season for, you know, over-the-counter supplements, things that guys are taking to replenish their bodies or rehab or whatever they're doing. And normally this is something that happens. He's a premier player. He's not going to make any excuses, much like I didn't make any excuses. You got to pay the piper, and you got to play by the rules.
Was it the 1999 season?
Yeah, 99.
Yeah, I remember it. I think people thought it was a joke initially, but you did wear a muscle tee to the press conference when you apologized.
Well, no, at that time, people, they need to remember. These players are updated pretty much all the time. For us, we were updated coming out of training camp. Basically what happens, you are given a sheet in your playbook. It's not more than a sheet. It's literally a couple, you know, 5 or 6 pages of all the ingredients that are banned by the National Football League. And at that time, there was an addendum, because at that time, androstenedione dione and all those things were being used publicly. Everybody could consume it. But then the NFL banned it, and they gave all of us players an addendum saying, hey, add these 2 supplements to your list, or these ingredients to your list. And those were what were in the products that I took. I was guilty of it, and as I mentioned, there are rules to abide by, and I certainly had to pay for it.
It happens.
You got to stop throwing the poor guy underneath the bus, I think, because, you know, when you do go start the off-season program, and there's guys that go in a lot of different ways. There are guys so committed to making sure their body is physically fit in the best way possible. You have to go and investigate the different supplements, because they change so frequently inside the store. So sometimes, you know, drug is a harsh word, because it can be just something inside the product.
Right, an ingredient.
Yeah, an ingredient that the NFL doesn't allow you to use. So, it's hard, because some guys are trying to capture the offseason to catapult them through the season.
Now, it hurt the Bears in 99. Eventually, they had a new offensive coordinator, and the story has a happy ending, because Jim, 2 years later, would lead the Bears into the playoffs. In the final game at Soldier Field, he was in the playoffs, and then he got hurt, unfortunately, on what I think is a dirty play. I'm not even going to ask Jim about it, but but he did lead the Bears into the postseason a couple of years later, and eventually ended up winning a ring with the New England Patriots and then becoming a radio superstar. So, see, it does have a happy ending. We got to take our first time out of the program. When we come back here, I'm looking at Twitter, and it says that at DBass91 is going to join us here on All Access. That would be Bears defender David Bass next with Tom Thayer and Jim Miller. I'm Zach Zaidman on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. The Chicago Bears Network presents Inside the Bears, a unique TV show hosted by Anthony Adams and Lindsay Petrucci and brought to you by Jimmy John's. Inside the Bears airs every Sunday night at 10:35 p.m. on Fox 32 Chicago, or visit chicagobears.com/insidethebears to check out show segments anytime. And this week, an encore presentation of Inside the Bears, linebacker Pernell McPhee sits down with Jeff Joniak. Spice Adams' former teammates Alex Brown and Jason McKee challenge him to a workout. Let me try to visualize that in your head. Spice Adams, who no longer plays, and remember what he looked like when he did play. Remember what Alex Brown looks like. Remember what Jason McKee looks like. That could be interesting. Also, you'll be introduced to Alaska's biggest Bears fan. Inside the Bears is brought to you by Jimmy John's, airing Saturday at 6 p.m. on My 50 Chicago and Sunday at 10:35 p.m. on Fox 32 Chicago. And joining us now on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority, is current Bear. Well, let's first start, before we ask David Bass anything, what position is David Bass playing this year when it comes to the Bears defense, David?
I'm now an outside linebacker.
Do you like it?
Change it up a little bit.
So,
oh, I love it.
You do like it?
I've been waiting on this, low-key. I actually trained for coming out for the draft, but, you know, I was drafted by Oakland. That was a 4-3 team. The Bears picked me up. We was a 4-3 team at the time, and
all right, we're going to put you on hold there and try to get a better line for you and, you know, have you call back on another line so we can clear things up there here on Bears All Access.
But you know what? It's really interesting because that was the first question I've written down for him. He says, I've actually been waiting for this. And because when David Bass came to the Chicago Bears as a defensive end, I didn't know what his chances were of making the team. Then you make the practice squad, and then you get an injury, then you get an opportunity to get on the field, and you do some really nice things on instincts and ability. But when I see him go, I bet you during his course of his career, he was waiting for this chance to use his let's go to David.
Yeah, he's right,
David,
there.
David, so are you still on with us?
I'm on.
Okay,
yes.
I like what you said is that you've been waiting for this, because the first question I had written down for you is when you came to the Bears and they played a 4-3 defense, there were suspicions if you had the ability to play a defensive end in the NFL. But now when I see you go to linebacker in the 34, this is what you're built for. This is where your athleticism and your instincts are going to be able to lift you into a more competitive position more immediately.
Right, true that. I mean, whether it was a 4-3 in or a 3-4 outside linebacker, I was going to play it to the best of my ability and just try to capitalize on all opportunities. But now that I am an outside linebacker, I'm looking forward to the challenge and me picking up on the whole scheme and finally getting out there in like a, you know, live game to see how I pan out.
Well, David, it's so interesting because, you know, all offseason, whether it's John Fox, the head coach, or Vic Fangio, your defensive coordinator, say, you know what? We're going to play around with guys, see where they fit. And, you know, you just look at the numbers on defense. How do you wipe that out of your mind where you don't get caught up in the numbers and just focus on what you got to do to earn a spot on the Chicago Bears roster?
You know, that's a difficult task to do for a lot of people, especially a lot of young athletes, because at the time when I was a rookie and even my second year, I paid a lot of attention to numbers and fell into the numbers game. And when you do that, you know, you lose focus of why you're actually there, you know, and your goal and things that you want to happen. You make a 53-man roster and contribute to the team. So I just try to go out there and have fun. At the end of the day, you know, we're going to have mistakes. We're going to make plays. That's what everybody in this league to do. Everybody's not going to be perfect. So I just try to go out there, have fun, and compete, and let everything else fall into place.
People have seen David Bass in just a little bit of action since he joined the Bears. But I think what's important to note is for people to understand your background, David, because you went to Missouri Western State, small school, but you broke the school record with 40 and a half career sacks and 50 consecutive starts in your senior year. You were a finalist for the Gene Upshaw Award. You played in the East-West Shrine Game, where I think you really let the scouts know what you were all about. When you played in college, was it similar to the type of style that you're going to play in right now?
No. Totally different. It's actually similar to the last game we had the past 2 years. We always been a traditional 4-3 team. So this is going to be my first time standing up playing outside linebacker in a 3-4 scheme.
Well, let me ask you this. I'm sorry, Tom. Let me just interject here because you're stand-up. How do you get the good techniques of, you know, whether it's a moving H-back or, you know, these fullbacks that come and try to go at your knees, things like that, to use your hands? All the techniques are involved to really swat those guys away when you're playing from a stand-up position in a two-point.
It's going to come with repetition. Really, I mean, it's pretty much the same, except that since we're standing up, we can get a quicker look on the formation and the type of play that the offense is going to run, whether it's run pass, play action pass, things like that, or whether they got, like you said, a pulling H-back or a motion or a shift. So as far as the cuts and things like that, it'll be the same because it's going to take time for them to get there as opposed to me having my hand in the dirt. I'm going to take, you know, one or two pretty quick steps, and then I'm going to look as things open up. So it's going to help a lot by me seeing what's coming. So I'll be able to defend a lot of plays easier.
You know, Dave, that even led to my next question. When they put you in the Baltimore game, you got an interception off of Joe Flacco. You're playing defensive end. And then when I watch you during the OTAs and minicamp, I see you have a couple deflected passes as it leaves the quarterback's hand. Are you filtering information faster because of being in a stand-up position and your vision is the width of the field? Or do you just kind of feel the confidence as you know what your assignment is out of that position?
It's a combination of both. This year I'm really trying to just let loose, stop thinking, and just play. So, you know, I'm able to just go out there and make plays. But me reacting to, you know, getting that interception or me getting a tip pass in OTAs and minicamp, that plays a part in the offensive tackle set, whether it's a quick set, he's trying to jump me, and then whether or not the quarterback's under center or if he catches the ball, you see him square up and the shoulder come out. You can tell, like, the ball is being delivered. Also, down a distance, if it's, you know, short, say, second or third and 3 or 4 yards, you know they're trying to get a quick pass or we in the red zone, I got an idea that the ball is coming out quick, so I'm not going to just go flying up the field. I'm going to kind of put myself in a position where I can react and get my hands up if need be.
Well, it's a great answer, and talk about that feel. Is that just a feel? Say if it's a cover three called or cover three four underneath where you're buzzing the flaps. Say it's a three buzz call. I mean, talk about that where you're either spot dropping or getting to a certain spot. Is that just a feel, or is it just about seeing it when you're on the field?
Now that's a little different because if it is like say we're in a zone defense and we got if I have a spot drop, I know what area of the field I have. I know my responsibilities in that. So I know how far I have to go. And depending on the route concepts that the offense run or if I have immediate work or if I don't have any work, I have like a floor away, that'll tell me whether or not I stay there, whether or not I give help to, you know, say a safety or a corner or the inside linebacker. Or if we got like a deep crossing route, that'll tell me to get deeper, things like that. So that's all just depending on the type of routes the offense run.
It's really cool. It's really cool listening to David talk about the technique, the learning, because we're all learning the 3-4 defense together. The Bears have never run it, so it's something that is completely different here in Chicago. But we talked to Jared Allen, your teammate, who now is also an outside linebacker in this defense, a couple of weeks ago, and he mentioned how he's been watching video of guys that have excelled as outside linebackers in a 3-4, including DeMarcus Ware. You know, you have a guy on your team in Pernell McPhee, the former Raven, who's pretty nifty at the outside linebacker position. Have you been watching video of certain guys, or do you just watch him?
Oh, definitely. Like, he has a lot of experience in this defense, so he's definitely going to be a player I watch on film, you know, from this tape back in Baltimore and then from practice film. Since he's a starter, I always go through, watch what he did, and kind of compare myself to, you know, how can I play this better, or if he played it right, you know, mimic some of the things he did. But I've been watching 3-4 linebackers since I've been in college, not because of, you know, the dropping and things like that, but usually that's where you find some of your most talented, elusive pass rushers. So players like, and it just so happened that we got Vic from 49ers. I've been watching Alden Smith since he came out of Mizzou. Von Miller, Clay Matthews, some of my best players in the game. So I've been watching them for a long time. But definitely, anybody who's had success or came from a 3-4 defense, I'm not going to, you know, shy away. I'll be be the first one to go reach out, ask help, ask for different pointers on how to play the position.
Hey, David, how's the terminology to you? Is it second nature yet, or is it something you're going to need a reintroduction to the terminology at the beginning of training camp? Or is it something that you have to pay attention from start to finish of the huddle call to make sure you hear everything said?
Yeah, it's not second nature as of yet, but I'm not going to need to reintroduce. I'm just going to pick up where I left off. That's the main reason I took my notebook and my iPad, so I can look over it occasionally just so I can keep it fresh in my mind so I'm not going back to square one on the first day of camp.
Well,
and, yeah, listen to the whole play call, the, you know, strength, things like that. That's going to be key too.
Well, how much training do you do now, and also with your study habits that you just mentioned there, David? You know, it's kind of the quiet before the storm, right before training camp. Do you crank it up workout-wise? I know you got a little youth football camp you're going to be promoting here a little bit, July 17th and 18th at St. Joseph's True. High School in Westchester. Talk about that, but how much do you crank it up prior to training camp?
I crank it up enough. I have a couple days a week where I really turn it up. You know, try to reach my max heart rate and get the most out of my workout. And I also have days where it may be lighter scale, where I just go get in the pool, get a couple laps in, run and sprint, backpedal, change directions. Or I have days where I go do, you know, ladders and cone drills and hurdle drills in the sand. So I try to mix it up just so I don't stick to, you know, the same routine day in, day out. Try to add a couple of different things to my regimen.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry, about 4 to 5 days a week I'm doing something.
July 17th and 18th, as Jim mentioned, you're doing something big to help out the community with your youth football camp. What are kids going to learn at St. Joseph's High School in Westchester?
They're going to learn. Really, my main reason is that I'm having the camp is just to get out there and interact with the kids. They're going to learn a lot just by, you know, general conversation or whatever I decide to talk about, you know, to the kids on their Friday or Saturday and other guys that I bring out, whatever they decide to talk about. But for the most part, I just want to give the kids an outlet, come out there, you know, learn some fundamentals, techniques, get a chance to play and compete with us just so they can have a chance to say, hey, I was with, you know, a Chicago Bear. And, you know, I got to meet them. They're cool. They're just like us. They're from the same area as us. Or we can relate to them. If they can make it, we can make it. So that's my biggest thing. But, you know, hopefully they learn a lot, whether it's, you know, life lessons or just fundamental and technique.
And if someone's listening right now and they want to be a part of it, where do they go to get more information?
It's going to be www.bearsfootballcamp2015.eventbrite, and that's BRITE.com.
Well, let me ask you this, David. When you were growing up, what turned you on to football? Did you go to any football camps growing up where maybe it impacted you and you said, you know, I kind of like this sport. I want to get a little better at it.
To be honest, I've never participated in a camp growing up, you know, in relation to football. I made sure that I was at every basketball camp or every basketball tournament that was going on, though, because that was my, you know, my first love. When I realized that, you know, my odds wasn't as high as football, I started to take football more serious, and that's when I really cranked it up and shifted gears to 100% football. But I think it was just, you know, me following my God-given ability and just trying to go with the flow.
Thank you so much for joining us, David. Good luck with the camp. Doing anything special for the 4th of July?
I actually just got to St. Louis, so I will be with my family kicking it here.
Perfect.
Enjoy it. Enjoy all the good food that you can get at home. Thank you very much, David. We appreciate the time. David Bass, the Bears outside linebacker, spending some time with us here on Bears All Access. Jim, did you hear him talk about the basketball camp? Tom Thayer has a great basketball camp story. We'll discuss that next. Also, start lining them up. 312-644-6767 is the phone number. Again, 312-644-6767. We're going to play Ask Tom when we come back from the break. It's rapid-fire football questions from you to Tom Thayer. Judge Jim Miller picks a winner. Best caller of the segment wins a gift certificate to Sports Authority right here on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. The Super Bear Shuffle 5K, powered by PowerPlate, takes place on Thursday, September 10th at Soldier Field. Learn more and register today at chicagobears.com/5K. 85 Bear. Tom Thayer is here. So is former Bears quarterback Jim Miller. I'm Zach Zaidman. We are just mere moments away from playing Ask Tom. 312-644-6767 is the phone number. If you're a regular listener to Bears All Access, you know the deal. If you're not, where have you been? Welcome aboard. Here's what we do. We go rapid fire with your phone calls, your questions. Anything in the world of football is fair game for Tom Thayer, who gives succinct, concise, and informative answers while Judge Jim Miller sits back. Yeah, he's got, and it's, he goes British style, so he's got the wig and everything, and he picks a winner at the end of the segment. The winner gets a gift certificate to Sports Authority. But before we get to Ask Tom at 312-644-6767, I mentioned that Tom had a basketball story from way back when he was a kid.
It was the subject of going to camps, and I went to a Ray Meyer basketball camp when I was about 8 or 9 years old.
The legendary DePaul coach.
Yes, first time I ever been away from home in my life, and it's at Three Lakes, Wisconsin or something. I can't remember the name, but so I get there, and I'm not a good basketball player, and I'm homesick. So the only thing I really do the first couple of days is just cry my way to sleep every day. And I go to the practices and I do whatever the camp, but I'm homesick and I'm crying. And finally I start sending letters to the neighbors where we live in Joliet, asking them if they could go to my house and ask my mom and dad to come and get me. So finally, after I cried enough, they got someone to come and pick me up from camp. And Ray Meyer was so disappointed in me leaving. He put his arm around me and he said, "Son, get out of athletics because it's not for you." And I remember it my whole life. And then my brother was on vacation. They came and picked me up. And then all was happy after that. And I ended up being able to share that story with Coach Meyer a few times after that. But I remembered it my whole life. And if you have a bad experience going to camp, being homesick, it's not the worst thing in the world. You can't overcome it, and you can continue to play sports in your life. But
I would have thought if Coach Meyer said that, you would have cried harder. not you, Tom. You said, "I'm happy to go home."
Right.
Please. Give me my binky, Mom.
I snuck away from the camp, made it into town, got to a payphone, called and said, "Please come and get me." And then one of the camp counselors was driving back, saw me walking down the road, picked me up and put me back in the car and brought me back.
The funniest part about that is then you go on to star on the football field at Ray Meyer's alma mater, Notre Dame.
Yes. And, well, this is the best thing about it is later in life, I had dinner. This is big time. I had dinner with Frank Sinatra, his wife Barbara Sinatra, Ray Meyer, and Tom Dreesen. And I retold that story at a table with Coach Meyer and Frank Sinatra being there. And, you know, you were the butt of the joke, but it did have some, positive results in the long run.
You made Frank Sinatra laugh. That's pretty cool.
Yes, and Ray Meyer appreciated the story when I used to tell him that, and it was great for me, but it was a learning experience.
See, Jim, I told you it was a good one.
That was fantastic, Tom. I did not know that, but I'll follow it in the mental Rolodex here.
All right, it is time to play Ask Tom. Again, rapid-fire football questions, or if you want to find out about Tom's basketball background, 312-644-6767. At stake, a gift certificate to Sports Authority. Let's begin the festivities. We will go to Algonquin. Don, you're on Bears All Access.
Don, how you doing?
Hey, good. How are you? Hey, Tom, you're a rock star. It's a pleasure to talk to you, and it's an honor. And all that you bring to the table on the broadcast, your knowledge is phenomenal. So thanks for all you guys do.
Your question?
So I just want you to pull the curtain back a little bit with the O-line and the QB and how he's calling plays and the cadence and the count. You know, there's been so much stuff over the last couple of seasons, right? Peyton with Omaha, and sometimes the quarterback is, you know, they're lifting their leg up like they're trying to draw people off sides. But how does that all work? Sometimes when you guys go, are you counting in your head and then he's going to go? Or how does it all go down? What do you guys do?
How
does it all work?
Everything the quarterback says in the huddle has an exact and specific command to somebody. Whether it's the first play you're calling or you have an alert in the cadence that alerts you that he is changing the play to an audible. But there's so much information being filtered during the course of the quarterback's cadence. That's why you like to get out of the huddle with a little bit more time so he can evaluate what the defense is presenting to you and then call the most efficient play from there. Last year, every single time they went to the line of scrimmage, they had two plays in their head. And I think that slowed down the aggressiveness and it's, you know, put more thinking process into the quarterback's cadence. I think here, if you go to the line of scrimmage and you have a bread and butter play that you're confident with 100% of the time, that's when you can allow your team to be the most aggressive, because they're not thinking during the cadence. They're just getting ready to explode and perform their assignment.
312-644-6767. We're playing Ask Tom Rapid Fire Football Questions for former Bear Tom Thayer at Stake gift certificate to Sports Authority. Drew in Elmwood Park, you are on Bears All Access.
Hey, Drew.
Hey, guys. With the recent success of Pete Carroll coming over back into the NFL with the Seahawks, there's been a lot of mention. I'm sure it's been around for ages, but there's been a lot of mention about specifically a Leo end. I was wondering if you might be able to kind of explain some of the differences between, you know, a Leo end as, you know, compared to, say, you know, a more traditional 4-3 or 3-4 defensive end.
You know, Drew, it's kind of interesting because coaches, they just use terminology that they bring along with them or they invent. You know, they have a strong and a weak side, where if you're going to have a defensive end that's going to play to the tight end side each time, they're going to watch them break the huddle, see where the tight end lines up, and they're going to balance the defense from his position. And then if they go to five wide receivers or different sets, then they have different ways of thinking about strengths of the offense, or they have the wide side of the field and the short side of the field. There are a lot of determining factors that have players line up after the offense breaks the huddle, similar to the safeties and how they switch, or if you have cornerbacks that switch sides of the field, or one cornerback is predominantly with the best receiver. So it's weird because, you know, every system that Jim has been through, there's been different parts of the terminology, but some of them mean the same thing from the last system. And I don't think a Leo defensive end means anything different than, hey, this is our strong defensive end and this is going to be our weak defensive end rushing away from the tight end.
312-644-6767. Mike and Byron, you are on Bears All Access.
Hey, Mike.
Hey, Tom. Let's give you this scenario. If Ray McDonald is released by the Bears prior to the draft, is Kevin White still a Bear, or are they looking at the defensive end position?
That's a good question, Mike. I still think they're going to replace Brandon Marshall. I think they're going to replace Brandon Marshall within this division to make the offense more explosive, to get you size and speed on the outside, to make sure that you can still help Alshon and the rest of the receivers on this football team continue to develop. So, at our pace, the general manager said right after the pick, this was an easy pick. So I still think that Kevin White would have been
And remember pick. That Leonard Williams, who was considered at that point in time maybe to be the best defensive end at that point in the draft, he was taken before by the Jets.
And I know that he started to put up some red flags, too, in terms of injury concerns. We're talking about Leonard.
312-644-6767 at Stake gift certificate to Sports Authority. Chris in Gurnee, you're on Bears All Access.
Hey, Chris.
Hey. Hey, Tom, how are you? I've been listening to you for years in your analysis. And I'm not trying to toot your horn, but you are an absolutely amazing analysis. How come you do not coach? How come nobody has reached out to you? You and, I'm sorry, the other guy slips my name, the guy who reports all year for the Bears, who was a player, I believe he played safety for the Detroit. Just two amazing guys. How come you guys don't coach?
Oh, yeah, it's weird. You know, when I was playing in the NFL and coaches' salaries weren't where they are now and you were putting in, you know, 80 hours a week, the coaches kind of discouraged you from getting into coaching and said, listen, save your money. Make sure that you start putting your sights on what your second career is going to be. And you have guys like Emery Moorhead that are so successful in the real estate business, or Matt Sui as an entrepreneur and Gary Fencing and stuff. That's the lead that they took. And so you weren't as encouraged to get into coaching back then as you are now. But if I could have foreseen what the salaries were for coaching, it would have probably encouraged you a little bit more to get involved. But you also had to be willing to move every 2 to 3 years because you were going to get rehired or fired. And it's really a lot of stress in your family. And for me, with my mom and dad, my sisters and brothers, everybody being here, I never wanted to leave Chicago, so that really limited my chances.
Jim, why doesn't he just say he loves surfing too much?
I don't know. I mean, it's pretty obvious. We know he likes to go back to the Big Island and just enjoy all the waves, and he has a good time doing it, and it keeps him in great shape, and he's always ready to roll. It clears his mind. It's his little peace area there where he comes back fully energized.
Jim, and this is a question directly related to you. I read a story today that Marcus Mariota has not signed his contract yet because once he signs his contract, there's a clause in there that says you cannot surf anymore. So I think he's holding off signing his contract so he can have this offseason to surf, and then when he does sign it, it's not going to be part of his routine anymore. Is that fair to him, or is it just an organization trying to protect their most valuable piece?
I think they're trying to protect their most valuable piece, but technically, I mean, everybody knows in most contracts, it's only in season where those are really enacted upon. So I doubt that he's going to go surfing mid-year unless he catches on his bye week a flight out to the Hawaiian Islands to go surfing for the weekend. But normally a lot of teams don't enforce those only in season, you know, like riding motorcycles and things like that. Technically, he would be able to go out there and surf, and it's got him in great shape thus far. I mean, why wouldn't they want him to continue to do it as far as I'm concerned?
Use the boogie board. There's no need to...
Listen, don't be seen in the water if you're Marcus Mariota on a boogie board. You cannot do that. It's surfboard or nothing.
All right, it's time to pick a winner. Jim, who gets that gift certificate to Sports Authority?
Well, I like Don's question from Algonquin. He talked about the snap count, huddle calls, you know, Tom mentioned it beautifully. He said last year there was too much thinking going on at the line of scrimmage. Just call some go plays. You can go on the quick where you just go up there, say set hut, and you run the play. You can go on one, you can go on two, you can go on three. Of course, you got audibles, but there is an entire huddle procedure that you go through to get up to the line of scrimmage and run all the plays and execute them correctly.
You know, Jim, you're so involved in the NFL and every system around the league. When we're talking about the Leo defensive end, there's a lot of different names for a lot of different positions that the way defensive coordinators name them, or even terminology you use as a quarterback. So I hope I answered that defensive end question, because it is about how a coordinator names each position according to his fronts.
I've heard it two different ways. One, you think of Leo. Some people equate it to the strong side edge rusher that you mentioned. So they're lining up to the strength of the offense, which would be over the tight end, say in a 4-3 defense, because you're strong. Think of Leo the Lion, king of the jungle, right? He's strong. But other teams look at the Leo as the weak side edge rusher, because why? He's a lion too, right? He gets sacks and gets to the quarterback. So I've heard variations where two different defensive philosophies are that they call it differently, one to the strong side, one to the weak side, but they're still dominant for the reasons that I just mentioned.
You got to be a predator no matter what side you're playing defense in the NFL. Let's take a break. When we come back, I want to know what you guys think when you watch the way these NBA free agents are being courted, when you consider the sport you played and the non-guaranteed contracts that they have in the National Football League. We'll discuss next with Tom Thayer, Jim Miller. I'm Zach Zaidman, Bears All Access on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Bears All Access continues on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. 85 Bear Tom Thayer is here. So is former Bears quarterback Jim Miller. I'm Zach Zaidman. All right, so you see these NBA free agents getting wined and dined. They get Hollywood producers to put movies showing these guys in action and what they would do in a particular city. I mean, it's carte blanche. They roll out the red carpet for these players, and then they get these monster guaranteed contracts. Tom, you never had that luxury. What's that like when you watch these players being just catered to the way they have been by these teams?
You know, I really don't care, because I have to leave finances out of my thinking, whether it's an NFL player like Ndamukong Suh or a guaranteed basketball player or baseball player. Because if you start thinking about the money, I think it changes the way you think about the game and you talk about them, because I hope for their team they succeed up to the amount of money they're paying for some of these guys. And, you know, I just, Dwayne Wade getting $20 million for one season. I don't care. I mean, congratulations to him. You know, and it's about whatever team you're going to sign with, it's about winning. I would rather have the ring and the experience of the Super Bowl than have the experiences that these guys have just because it's a money experience.
We heard Russell Wilson say that he mentioned the figure $25 million a year.
Yeah.
Jim, you hear this, and there's some friction going on in negotiations between Russell Wilson and the Seahawks in regards to money. Just to put it in perspective, that would be $3 million more than what Aaron Rodgers makes. What would be your advice for Russell Wilson heading into this season?
I wouldn't be throwing out anything. Just lay low. It never works out when players start to publicly talk about contracts, you know, in a public forum. Just keep it behind closed doors, because at the end of the day, the Seahawks have all the leverage. So what? They just tag him at the end of the year. Then they could tag him the following year. They could literally hold up Russell Wilson for 54 more games. 54, if you think about how many times they could utilize the tag that the team has as leverage. And he'd get what? Whatever the guaranteed money, depending on the salary cap, goes up in terms of the franchise tag. For quarterbacks right now, I think it came in this past year at $18 million. So they could tag him next year. He's going to make $18 million. Then they tag him again. It would go up to like $20. I mean, they still have his rights. He's still got to play football. He'd still have to earn all that. So literally, they can gum up him getting a new contract for literally 54 more games. I don't think Seattle wants to do that, but they've got other contracts that they want to get players signed. You know, think of Bobby Wagner, the middle linebacker. He wants to be the highest paid middle linebacker in the league. I'm sure every player wants to be the highest paid player, but at a certain point, there's, you know, all those factors that we talked about from leverage points, whether it's utilizing the franchise tag or exclusive franchise tag, at some point, you're going to meet in the middle. If he wants to roll the dice and see how he plays this year and see if he can continue his postseason success, good luck to him. And then maybe he'll have a shot at that opportunity. Or would he want more security, as you just mentioned, much like NBA players, where it's not guaranteed, but in signing bonuses and other things that you can utilize in a contract where he could secure his financial security moving forward. It's a big gamble. For players in the NFL.
Yeah, the guaranteed money is the big thing anytime an NFL player signs a contract. So you're saying there's no chance he holds out and misses the Week 3 game with the Bears?
I don't think so. I don't think he will. He's already taken out an insurance policy and all those type of things if he were to get injured. And we'll see if Seattle tries to appease him, but I doubt he's going to make more than Aaron Rodgers.
You know, too, is when you think of the Michael Bennett scenario out in Seattle and you think of the quarterback and you think of the other players that Jim mentioned, there is going to be a dynamic in that locker room that is not going to be comfortable for everybody. If they negotiated with someone's contract last year and they want to have nothing to do with them, if people are jealous because that money figure is being talked about now with Russell Wilson, where you know the rest of the position is not even going to come close to making what he's going to make in a year. So there's a lot of soft spots that you'd want to make sure that you don't make softer and more controversial in the locker room when you're trying to deal with these money people.
We've got to say goodbye. Happy 4th of July, everybody. 485 Bear Tom Thayer and former Bears quarterback Jim Miller, Kevin Zipak on the other side of the partition, and our guy Padge, who made the whole thing happen. I'm Zach Zaidman saying so long. Be safe. Enjoy the holiday weekend. This has been Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Thanks for listening to this Chicago Bears Network presentation of Bears All Access, your all-access pass into the world of Bears football. You can listen to Bears All Access shows or download the podcast online at chicagobears.com. Bears All Access is brought to you by Sports Authority and sponsored by Subway, United, Verizon, and Xfinity.